And that case is Appeal 092822, United States versus Thomas Holstein. And it's Mr. Minkus. Come on up, Mr. Minkus.
Good morning, Your Honors. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here again.
Oh, it's nice to have all of you here.
And Judge Rovner, I'm going to try to remember not to take a breath.
Okay.
Since Thomas Holstein...
But it'll be a short argument.
Right.
No.
Since Thomas Holstein has argued here on appeal that the evidence was insufficient at trial and that, indeed, no rational trier of fact would have found him guilty, it is important, therefore, in his allotted time here today, to highlight the salient facts of this case that demonstrate why his conviction should be overturned.
Of course, the appeal boils down to the validity of Judge Grady's finding that Ms. Vega was credible in her testimony, doesn't it?
I agree. I think it does boil down to that. But I believe that a review of the evidence really very conclusively shows, with all due respect to Judge Grady, that in fact he got it wrong, that she was not credible. Initially, it is crucial to the understanding of this matter to recognize that on the date the bankruptcy petitions were filed, and of course leading up to them, Thomas Holstein was legally and properly licensed to practice law in the state of Illinois. The importance of this fact cannot be overstated, because it not only shows that there was no legal necessity to file these bankruptcies pro se, but also that there was on his part no scheme to defraud or fraud perpetrated at the time of the filings, either upon the court or upon his clients.
If it was an honest scheme, why conceal the fact that attorney fees had been paid?
Well, the question, Your Honor, I think presupposes that Mr. Holstein was responsible for the omissions and
It does, and we obviously have Vega's testimony to that effect. And
yes.
Judge Grady credited it. So I'm saying, if the fact that Holstein was still licensed, the suspension or disbarment had not yet taken effect, is so innocent and so helpful, why was there a need to conceal the fact that attorney fees had been paid?
Well, Judge Hamilton, I think the best response to that, and I think what Mr. Holstein would want me to say, is that he had absolutely no part in the preparation of the bankruptcy petitions in this case, so that
he got paid to do that.
No question, he got paid to do that. But again, we have these very peculiar, very almost pathetic and sad facts of this case, that Mr. Holstein was essentially holed up as a recluse at this summer cottage in Wisconsin.
Did witnesses testify to that effect?
Well, Lisa Vega did, Your Honor. The very witness that Judge Grady found to be credible was very clear in her testimony at trial that the way it worked is that people would respond to see an ad, typically, Your Honor, in the Yellow Pages. They would dial the number for the law line, and that number would ring and be redirected to a cell phone that was in the possession of Mr. Holstein at his little summer cottage in Lake Delavan in Wisconsin. Sometimes he would answer that phone, sometimes he wouldn't. But when he did answer the phone, he would talk with the debtors who called. He would set an appointment for them. And truly, Your Honor, that's the last that he had to do with this. There isn't a scintilla of evidence. There is no evidence that was presented at trial that Mr. Holstein ever saw these petitions.
Well, she did say she was in regular touch with him by telephone, and at least one client did say she met Mr. Holstein at the office.
Well, with regard to both of those observations, I think it perhaps over-characterizes it, Judge Rovner. There was one person at trial who said that when she came in to see Lisa Vega, she wasn't meeting with Mr. Holstein, she saw a man that was, you know, I'm sorry, I think my phone is picking up some sort of static.
I'm sure it's just...
Whatever.
The rumbling.
The rumbling, right. I think one of the individuals who debtors who testified at trial said that she saw a man in Bermuda shorts and in an Izod polo shirt and flip-flops.
That frightening concept would just tear me out of the office immediately.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah.
It's certainly, what would you be doing in that office?
It certainly would if you would see me, Your Honor. But that was the sum total of that debtor's testimony in terms of seeing Mr. Holstein. And furthermore, there's no evidence, again, in responding to your question, that Mr. Holstein was in any way involved with the reviewing, certainly not the preparation, or even just signing off on the petitions that were clearly completely prepared by either Lisa Vega or, if you believe her testimony, and frankly it was, I thought, totally incredible, that there was yet this other person, this Janet Peterson, who, you know, may have prepared these petitions at home. So, in any event, the Judge Grady's finding that Lisa Vega was credible, and which is due respect to Judge Grady, I believe the very linchpin of the prosecution against Mr. Holstein, really belies the facts that we know occurred here. And I want to point Your Honors and direct Your Honors to several of those. Lisa Vega said that she received this fateful phone call from Mr. Holstein from Wisconsin. And he said, oh, my name can't be on these petitions. You have to black them out. And it's really that phone call, that alleged conversation, that got Mr. Holstein indicted in these cases. So if you believe that, that is completely contradicted by the note, by the facts that we know. And what are the facts that we know? Well, number one, that this very bright, very sophisticated and urbane man, former law professor, no less, directs her to pay for these petitions with check or checks drawn and clearly labeled the Lawline client funds account. The very fact that he told her to file these petitions with checks that so clearly identify him not just as a lawyer, but identify him as from the Lawline, which the government indicates and admits in their brief, filed thousands and thousands of bankruptcies under the name Lawline, which was unquestionably linked only to one person and one man, and that's Thomas O'Connell Holstein. So only an idiot or the most bungling person intent on committing a theft would tell her, block out my names, omit any reference to the fact that these were filed and prepared by an attorney, but still file them with a client funds account that has my name all over it. The easier thing to do if Mr. Holstein was really intent on perpetrating this fraud would have been to tell her, go get cash. Cash the checks. Write them out for cash and take them to the bankruptcy clerk's office and file them with cash. That wasn't done. The second reason we know that Lisa Vega's testimony is completely incredible is before Mr. Holstein had even a whiff that there was something improper or scandalous or criminal about these petitions, what does he do? He goes ahead and directs her to pay and hire attorneys to show up at the first creditors meeting, which is really the last stage of the bankruptcy process by which a person needs legal representation. That very act by an attorney who is now suspended, who knows that he can no longer actively or in any way involve himself and participate in representing these poor people, literally and figuratively, before the bankruptcy court, totally belies Lisa Vega's testimony that he was the one who was directing her. And last but not least, we really do believe, with due respect to a wonderful district court judge, Judge Grady, that he really too cavalierly dismissed Lisa Vega's clear motives to lie in this case and to pin this on Mr. Holstein, aside from the obvious, which is that Lisa Vega knew that she was in this up to her eyeballs in terms of the one who was really preparing all of these petitions. He was such an easy target. It's so easy to deflect it and put it on him. And she freely admitted that this was somebody that not only had she hoped would give her a long life of employment, of successful and profitable employment, but also this was somebody that she was previously romantically involved in. Your Honors, thank you. It's really been an honor.
Thank you, Mr. Minkus. Hello. Ms. Best.
May it please the Court, Yasmin Best on behalf of the United States. The trial court did not err in finding Mr. Holstein guilty on every count of the indictment. Despite defense counsel's arguments, the reality is that the court gave a very long opinion as to why he found Ms. Vega to be credible, find her credible at trial, that it did not find that any of her testimony had been contradicted at all by any of the other evidence introduced, and that she did not have any motive to lie or to conceal the fact that these petitions had been filed on behalf of these debtors by Mr. Holstein. In addition to Ms. Vega's testimony, the court also heard the testimony of 11 other witnesses, all of whose testimony the court did find to be credible, and all of whom also strengthened the government's evidence regarding whether Mr. Holstein was the party and the only party responsible for concocting this scheme to defraud the debtors and profiting from it, and then wanting to conceal his involvement in the bankruptcy petitions. After assessing the credibility of the witnesses and the documentary evidence, the trial court gave, as I said, a lengthy opinion as to why it found Mr. Holstein to be guilty on each of the 9 counts of the indictment. It went through the elements of each of the two different statutes under which he had been indicted and found Mr. Holstein to be guilty. In light of all of the evidence presented, Mr. Holstein cannot meet his burden to show that no rational trier of fact could have found that the evidence did not prove him to be guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Because he cannot meet his burden, I would respectfully ask that this court affirm his sentence and conviction.
Ms. Best, could you explain to me the harm that was caused by this scheme?
Yes, Your Honor. Several people went to Mr. Holstein to represent them in the bankruptcy court. These debtors paid him upwards of $700 each to get an attorney to represent them at the court. While Mr. Holstein, and actually not Mr. Holstein, but Ms. Vega, contacted an attorney on a few of those people's behalf to represent them, several of them had no one to represent them at the time of the bankruptcy's court's first creditors meeting.
So they were stranded. Some of them were stranded, and some of them were left with an attorney. They had no idea who he or she was.
Correct. And at least one of the debtors actually had to hire another attorney at the time to represent them at an additional cost, I believe, of more than $1,000. Furthermore, several of the debtors who testified at trial testified to really their fear and concern and realizing that they had hired someone, had turned over their personal documents, and had not had someone respond to them, and were really concerned about what would happen and whether they would be able to discharge their debt before the change in the bankruptcy law. So there was also testimony about just the general panic that Mr. Holstein's failure to do what he promised to do caused each of the debtors.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I would just ask that this court affirm his conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Minkus, you were appointed by the court, and you have our profound thanks for the fine job you did for your client. And thank you as well to the U.S. Attorney's Office, as always. The case will be taken under advisement. The court